League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, two in the books, one to go, final hour of the show. It is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. It's my boy Nick and myself as we take you all the way up till 4 o'clock. News of the day, Astros opening up a weekend series in Cleveland against the Tribe. Is that okay? Am I allowed to?
I don't think so.
Why? I didn't say Indians.
Okay.
On the ESPN website, it says Houston Astros versus Cleveland Indians. I guess they can't use the Chief Wahoo logo, but they are still referred to as, they're not called the Cleveland baseball team.
They are not. That is the fact. So we can't call them what they're not.
So we're just going to call them what ESPN says they are, and then they can get mad at ESPN before they get mad at us. Astros and Indians, Framber Valdez on the hill. Stros have lost four in a row. Not good, but still good enough, because after winning 11 straight games, the Astros, still a one-game lead in the loss column over the A's, both with 48 wins, Stros 33 losses, A's 34 losses as they beat the Rangers last night. So that's your early viewing pleasure at about 6:10 tonight, first pitch. And then, of course, the NBA playoffs continue a night after Chris Paul making his first finals appearance by clinching it by beating the Clippers in Game 6. You have Game 5 between the Bucks and the Hawks. No word yet on Trae Young. He's in Milwaukee, but they don't know if he'll play. Bucks have already ruled out Giannis Antetokounmpo for Game 5, though he does have no structural damage to the knee. Evidently enough pain and suffering going on that he will not give it a go. They are at home. I guess that's a bonus where they say role players play better. But, boy, they better. Again, you know how much I've been crapping all over their coaching. But a lot of the guys, including P.J. Tucker, I believe, alluded to the fact that they came out flat. They had no motivation. They almost expected to win. That's on the coaches. You gotta bust their chops before they even hit the floor going, this could go one of two ways. You could get embarrassed because you lost to a team that didn't have their best player, or you could be the team that everybody's expecting you to be, and you could just crush them.
And I don't know what kind of talks he has. He seems like the type that's not very he's not super loud. Is he? Is Mike known to be like?
I don't think he is.
He's not. I don't know if his pregame speeches is ones that really get you motivated. You know, some people say you can be like a man of few words, really quiet, and it just gets you super motivated. I guess Greg Popovich and Bill Belichick are two names. Although, I don't know. I can see both of them being really, really mad and mean to their players, too. But in terms of pregame, like, do you think Popovich is yelling at the top of his lungs, getting his team ready before a game? Or even if it's a playoff game, I'm not sure. But if they're playing like crap, I'm sure he'll do that.
Yeah, which they should as coaching. But I just think that it all comes with the territory, right? If you're the head coach and your job is to instruct, educate, and plan as a coach, part of it is also to motivate from time to time. If a guy's having a slump, there's ways to figure out running plays or doing things to get him out of it. If a team isn't exact, I told you about the ultimate one that I can remember is Game 2 of the Finals against the Magic. The Rockets got damn lucky, okay? There was a lot that had to go right, including four missed free throws by Nick Anderson, but they found a way to win Game 1 in overtime, as we all remember. Game 2, and Rudy talked about this with me when we had him on the interview before the Hall of Fame. Game 2, they show up for shoot around, and they are loose. They are clowning around. They're barely listening. And Rudy calls them all to center court, and he just lit them up. And he said, if you guys want to act like this, you're going to get your ass kicked. And he's like, and they are going to kick the living bleep out of you, and you're going to have no one to blame but yourself. And all of a sudden, all those half smiles and wide eyes got super focused in, And all the smiles got wiped off their faces. And he went nuts for about 5-10 minutes. Nick, when they came out to play that night, the Magic didn't have a chance. They were so focused and they were so step on their throat mentality that they hammered him.
That's what you got to do. And obviously, Rudy had his approach. I mean, Greg Popovich in his older age, I feel like he has even more aggressive approaches sometimes too. I mean, I remember the game where he literally took out the entire first unit in the first substitution of the game. Like, you starters suck, so I'm going to sit each and every one of you down and play a bunch of bench players. And he did that at the beginning of a game to send a message. I don't know if you can get away with that in most teams, but Popovich does. Everybody has their own way, and maybe you can respect that. I mean, some people respect the vocal nature of others, and some people don't. Apparently, Devin Booker has embraced the vocal nature of Chris Paul's. Not everybody's going to do that.
He admitted that, but I think it's just like when you talk about the philosophies of coaching, right? You can't coach everybody the same way. Some have to be coddled. Some need tough love. Some need some kind of a balance. Just like some coaches believe in the direct approach and go right at you, and we were talking about with Pop, or other coaches believe that if they put it out in the media, that whether through reading the paper or watching TV or one of their close associates hearing it and relaying the message, that that's the best way to get their message through. It all varies based on the situation. I mean, the first thing you can do as a coach is you get to know your squad. I know that this guy can take whatever I throw his way. He's tough. He doesn't take it personal. And whatever I tell him, he's going to try and use it to motivate him and to be the best player he can be. There's other guys, James Harden, that when you try and come at him that way, he's going to get defensive. He's going to get pissed off, and he's going to want the coach fired.
Yeah, and I don't know if he had that much in terms of the other two stars on the Nets going at him. Like, I don't see Kevin Durant and Kyrie going at James Harden for messing up that much, and I think he appreciates that because I think most of the mistakes lie on them. So it works out. Did you see the new ruling on NIL, name, image, likeness for athletes?
I did, yeah. A big deal.
I mean, it seems like it's going to probably cause other shadiness, but inevitably, we live in a world where it's inevitable. You're probably going to have some sort of shadiness anyway. But there's a little quote by NCAA President Mark Emmert. Yep. This is an important day for college athletes since they are all now able to take advantage of name, image, likeness opportunities. With the variety of state laws adopted across the country, we will continue to work with Congress to develop a solution that will provide clarity on a national level. The current environment, both legal and legislative, prevents us from providing a more permanent solution and the level of detail student athletes deserve. So from now on, you'll see athletes hosting camps, signing autographs, building podcasts, streaming on Twitch, acting in commercials. All that is good. Social media. All that is okay now. So
now, a couple of stipulations. One, the university can't employ the marketing agents to go out and get the deals or to be in charge of making the money for the players. But there will be agencies that will do it for them. And I don't know how technically that works with how they can compensate the agencies and if that's okay. And again, the eligibility requirements are so skewed for the NCAA.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that Spencer Rattler, the quarterback and Heisman candidate from Oklahoma, already came out basically saying, I'm donating a portion of whatever I make. And, basically already saying, hey, don't get mad at me. It's an exciting time, but I'm not going to take advantage of it. But you should take advantage of it.
You should if you can, because you may not be that. You may not have that likeness once you get out of college. And I totally understand that.
Let me ask you this on that whole thing. Keyshawn Johnson, who annoys me for a lot of reasons, came out on ESPN this morning and said, with this new ruling, the five college football players that could have and should have benefited the most over the years from this ruling if they had the opportunity were Rocket Ishmael of Notre Dame, Brian Bosworth of Oklahoma.
You could have banked on his likeness, for sure.
Reggie Bush.
For sure.
I'm missing one.
I'll tell you one guy that tweeted out said he would have been amazing at it.
You know who his number one was? Himself, Keyshawn Johnson. Oh. I mean, come on.
Here's a tweet from Josh Reddick. From 2004 and 2006, I would have made a bag on nil endorsements. Sadly, I would have blown it all on Natty Light and Lacoste polos with the collars popped off, of course.
Reddick said that?
Yeah, Josh Reddick tweeted that. I thought that was hilarious. Miami quarterback Derek King now has 4 sponsorship deals in the first 13 hours of legal nil monetization, including College Hunks Moving Company, The Wharf, Murphy Auto Group, and Dreamfield. He's already got 4. Like, these guys are not going to waste any time. If I can make some money off my likeness, guess what? I'm going to do it. Must be nice. But all the older guys got to be upset. It's kind of like, and I know a lot of people, you know, they have their different opinions on the WNBA. Mm-hmm. But you got to wonder who all the great college players in women's basketball, when there was no WNBA, how they felt when WNBA actually came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They probably felt some type of way. And I could see how older athletes would feel some type of way. I mean, Derek King has 4 sponsorships within a day.
So
they're saying within the first 13 hours.
So he returned to Miami instead of going pro. And I do remember Granato and Lance talking about
that
this.
6 year of eligibility.
Yeah. And basically saying he's going to make more money as a college player now than he is as a practice squad player in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think all these players have to weigh their options. And it's driving me nuts. And I was trying to look it up who Keyshawn's 5th was again. But I think that you miss out on some guys. And someone said Bo Jackson. Like, Bo Jackson, because of the fact that it was 2 sports, 3 sports actually, with track, baseball, and football, he could have cleaned up. Bosworth's a good one. Someone mentioned Peyton Manning. And I'm like, yeah, he was fairly big time, but he wasn't obviously what he turned out to be. Vince Young got upset that he didn't make the list, and he chimed in. But I'm just thinking about guys from a college, and that's just from football. Like, from a basketball perspective, they put Zion on there, and I get it, but he only played 1 year.
Yeah, he was a one-and-doner.
I think that they had Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
And they had Wilt Chamberlain. But to me, I think that you have to also include an Elvin Hayes, because if you think about back in the day when they had that big game at the Dome, that was the first time that they ever used a football stadium for a basketball game. And it was the game of the century, and everybody was looking. I think Elvin Hayes could have made a bag of money.
I mean, there's a bunch of players.
No one mentioned Michael.
Oh, yeah? North Carolina?
Yeah.
He could have made a bunch of money. A bunch of money. But you know what? None of them were. Most players and athletes, they weren't really thinking of it at that time. Like, that was before it really went all crazy. I mean, he didn't even know that Nike would be selling the amount of shoes.
So, to that point, 2 Nike athletes that, because of their universities. Patrick Ewing, remember that was when they had he wore the t-shirt under the jersey with the little Nikes on the sleeve.
Yeah.
That went nuts, but he didn't get any of that. And Ewing was a big enough villain and a good enough player. He could have cashed in. And the one that no one's talking about that didn't make their list, any member of the Fab Five. We talked about all the sales Nike made from the socks, the baggy shorts, the jerseys, all of that. They could have made a killing. So there's plenty that are looking at this now going, what happened when I was playing?
I would be mad too, but you know what? Sometimes it takes a long time to evolve and fix things or make things better, so that's just the way it is.
You know who the other one is? And not the other one, but another one, because it didn't work out professionally? Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel probably could have made a lifetime worth of money before he left A&M and might have stayed around. If he could have capitalized. Now, he kind of did with signing some autographs on the side, but he could have done so much more if he was allowed to. All right, there's a little conversation on that. Nick brought up a good topic with the NIL. So we've got lots to still get to. We are in the final hour of the program, so we'd love to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Calls and texts, Twitch and Twitter. Nick and Joel, PressBox ESPN.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, final hour of the program continues. Yeah, couple of you guys were throwing out names in the break, and it hit me. Tim Tebow was the
he would have killed it back in the day.
Yeah, I mean,
if this was allowed back in the day, he would have killed it.
So Keyshawn's list was Keyshawn one, and then he had any combination of Tebow, Rocket Ishmael, Reggie Bush. Is that five? Bush, Ishmael, Tebow, Keyshawn, Bosworth. Five. That was his five. I think you missed some, and I think the text line was really good for that as they were chiming in with Bo Jackson, Michael Vick, Deion Sanders, Adrian Peterson, Cam Newton, Ricky Williams. So there you have that. It was a hell of a list for him to put himself number one, but I think he missed a few. Your thoughts?
He probably missed a few, but he probably just had a list. I mean, there's so many names that did so well. And like I said, especially Tim Tebow, because we talk about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, you can make the argument that he's the best college football quarterback of all time.
Not just quarterback, best college player of all time.
You can make that argument.
You certainly can.
So with that in itself, Tim Tebow probably would have killed it. It looks like Tim Tebow's career, regardless of how good he was at football, was going to get him paid because he just has a fan base and people like him. So I don't know. Let's see what happens. I can't wait for the first shady story to pop off. At the same time, I'm happy that these guys are getting
paid. How about this, too? Here's the other thing they're going to have to deal with. Because someone was trying to ask on Twitch, what happened that Reggie Bush had to give back his Heisman and do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, it was because the rumor was he and his parents were taking money for playing at USC and playing college ball. That's funny they mentioned that because ESPN has just released a story. Reggie Bush, upon hearing the NCAA's decision, has now said, I want all my stats reinstated. I want my Heisman trophy back. I want what I deserve if this is the way you're going to go. That's not the last you're going to hear of this.
Yeah, I can see why he's going to make the argument, but the easy argument in return is, bro, those were the rules at the time. So I don't know if it helps. I don't know if he's going to get his Heisman trophy back. Maybe they reinstate the stats, but they don't give him the trophy back. They have plenty of ground to stand on. What were the rules at that time? Nobody else was getting it. And I would imagine it's not just Reggie Bush. If he goes down that road and he wants to get all this stuff reinstated, other players are going to want the same. So, I mean, I don't know. We've got Lamont on the HRMP hotline. He wants to talk. Neil, what's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, I want to know, first of all, how you fellas doing, man?
What's up, man?
How
you doing? To know how this is going to affect the booster now. Will the booster still be kicking out the same amount of money that they used? We all know that they do it.
How are they going to affect what? You broke up.
How's it going to affect Lamont, what? Repeat that.
The boot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How's it going to affect, say it one more time, how's it going to affect the what?
How's it going to affect, you know how the boosters used to give the kids money?
Oh, the boosters.
Oh, the boosters. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what, Lamont, it's interesting because I think that it's going to be kind of twofold. I think the boosters now are going to have, in some ways, they might have to be watched even more because instead a lot of the under-the-table stuff, which was all tax-free, but it was also kind of a handshake that had some cash in it. But now if they have enough money and they own a dealership, a car dealership, or they have some kind of retail establishment and they're not looking for a return on investment, they're probably going to try and do as much as they can to feed the athletes' pockets. On the flip side, I think that when you look at like the attractiveness of a University of Oregon, the University of Oregon by itself is not attractive. But because Phil Knight, the founder and creator of Nike, is behind everything Ducks athletics at Oregon, from the athletic dorms and the uniforms, because with all the shoes and the cleats and the different uniforms, it attracts and gets a bunch of top athletes to go there. I don't think Phil Knight's going to go after this and say, I'm going to go and get the shot putter and the tennis team and everything like that, and I'm going to tell them, hey, just say just do it, and I'm going to put money in your pockets, because he's already so all over the University of Oregon. And the exposure on national TV is what gets him the money. But if he wants to make sure top athletes go and play there, I guarantee you somehow, some way, the boosters and the T-Bone Pickens of Oklahoma, and for every university, there's probably at least one guy you can name.
Yeah, for sure.
Tillman Fertitta with U of H, where you go, you know what? I want to make my football or basketball team better. Well, there's a guy that's choosing between U of H and this place and that place. How'd you like to be a spokesperson for, I don't know, say Joe's Crab Shack or...
I mean, the thing is, like, you can...
Vic and Anthony's.
Exactly. You can go on a smaller independent level. It could be like a hole-in-the-wall bar. It could be a bar, just a sports bar. It could be a... there's so many... I mean, you heard the list of sponsors and that De'Eriq King of Miami got. I mean, everything from an auto group to I mean, and he has four.
It actually affects the boosters in a lot of ways. And one way is they don't have to be so shady under the table.
No.
As long as they have a legit business or opportunity for the athlete to promote, they can filter the money above the table instead of underneath it.
The other thing is, who's going to negotiate for these kids? Are they going to have someone repping them?
Schools aren't allowed to do it, but there are reps that can do it. So I think that's going to be kind of like a sports agency. You're going to see a separate set of businesses now that's going to be big players in sports.
So inevitably, you're going to find you're going to hear about soured relationships between college player and said rep or agent or whatever. I guarantee you that's going to happen. There's going to be some greedy reps and agents. There's going to be some greedy players. There's going to be some.
Think about it, Nick. You're looking for a side gig. You tell me that you know five of the top whatever sport it is, baseball or basketball or football. But let's say basketball or football. You know five of the top prospects, right?
Yeah.
So when they sign wherever they're going to go, they go to you and say, I want you to handle all my stuff. You go out and make mega deals for them, all five of them. You don't think your phone's ringing off the hook with every top agent in the country going, I want to represent your dude when he gets out of college, so I need to have a relationship with you. So I'm gonna butter you up, and I'm going to grease your pockets as much as possible, do whatever I have to do, so that when your guy's ready to go pro, you come to me, I become his agent, we work out a deal, we've got a system. That's why, as much as we used to hear about these agencies and then Rich Paul with LeBron and Jay-Z and all the different agencies that have become big power brokers, the next kind of power broker is going to be the marketing reps for college sports players, I think.
I wonder who these agents and reps are going to be, because I think that's going to be the interesting dynamic. It's inevitable they're going to run across someone that they're not supposed to, or maybe even the player is the dirty one. There's going to be stuff. But look, it's new, so they're going to have to probably make some adjustments in terms of the rules and the protocol, I would imagine. There's certain people making the rules. I mean, it's just very conflictive. Like, if you're asking who's making the rules, as it reads on ESPN.com, there are roughly a dozen states that have laws in effect that dictate how college athletes can profit from their name, image, and likeness. The NCAA has instructed individual schools and states that do not have a law in effect to craft their own policies. That's going to be – crafting your own policies is going to be – that's going to be special. That's going to be interesting to see how they can craft their own policies and see if they can actually execute it.
It just hit me.
What?
You know what's going to get even dirtier?
Hmm.
AAU.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
I can see that.
Because I've already told you it's the most corrupt part of sports in the nation.
Yeah.
But here's how it gets dirtier. Now, like I said, the next step, as you were talking about that, it's not going to be like who has the best background and degree. It's not going to be the guy that's, you know, been there, done that with a pro athlete. It's going to be who, you know, how many top prospects do you have? If you're the coach of said AAU team that has, say, four or five future NBA players, guess who I want to be a part of my new agency in representing college athletes? Because if I sign you, it's just like when Danny Manning's dad got a job on Larry Brown's staff if he played at Kansas, or all these different things. You're going to see the AAU cesspool get even more cutthroat, because guys are like, what's in it for me? Oh, well, on my squad, I got four or five future NBA players, but I certainly got six or seven future college players that are going to be big time. You want these guys to go to your school? Then you sign me. If you sign me, then I can go out and get them deals too. And it's going to be just a whole what's in it for me. All right, that's first half hour of the third hour of the program. That means 30 minutes on the clock when we come back, and we will take you all the way till 4 right here on the Press Box, ESPN.
Is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, 30 minutes to go in the show. Any update on Trae Young has not been made public just as of yet. Giannis out tonight for the Bucks. Trae Young, day-to-day as they're listing him. He is in Milwaukee, but don't know if he's going to play or not. It's a shame that if we go down to the best of three in the Eastern Conference Finals and you're going to say that it's going to be played without either team's best player, that's not exactly what the NBA had in mind.
No. It didn't, but one more thing on the whole nil thing, on the image and the likeness thing, because I wanted to bring this up. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I just thought of that could be a good thing about this whole situation is that when you're on campus, and especially if you're a star player, you're kind of the big man on campus, right? You get the preferential treatment. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of girls on campus. I'm pretty sure you're getting nice treatment from staffers and stuff like that. You're the man, and people kind of adhere to you. If it gets to your head, if you're one of those players and it gets to your head and maybe you get involved with a girl and maybe you get in trouble that way or you get in trouble with anything legally, another star player can look at that and say, you know what? When he did that, he lost all his opportunity to gain any money from his likeness. I don't want to be that kid. So maybe there is a positive for that. Maybe they can make examples out of kids for misbehaving in college, right? And then it loses their chance to get the endorsements and the money from their likeness. And I think that will change the way college players think at the college level. Now, they're still going to make mistakes, and they're still going to be dumb college players because guess what? You're supposed to be dumb in college. You're 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age. You're supposed to be dumb. You're supposed to make mistakes.
Not if you play sports, you're not.
Well, you're right.
It's an unequal playing field. It's unfortunate, but as much as these kids are immature in so many ways, there's the false expectation that they have to be hyper mature in following all of the different NCAA's do's and don'ts, and now even more to worry about with this NIL. I really think that the key here, and some people have mentioned it on Twitch and also text and Twitter, but one of the ways that the non-major big man on campus football or basketball player is going to make money is the influencers through social media. And you know that you can get reimbursed for how many followers you have and how many, and then they start worrying about, hey, you know what? I want to get the hot pole vaulter or the sprinter or the hurdler that has a massive social media following, and we're going to have them wear our gear or, you know, do this or do that. And then suddenly more people are following, and then they actually are finding a way to monetize it to get return on their investment.
Yeah. I think this could actually impact the social media platforms itself. Like, I think it changes the landscape a little bit. So that's why I thought it was a big story. But
it very well could.
Back to what you brought up, though. My bad. I just wanted to throw that one last in on the nil thing because we were still talking about it. But yeah, I still don't see any update in terms of Trae Young playing.
Trae Young. Okay.
So hopefully we'll get an update on that right now. I mean, if he didn't play last game, and honestly, I know when he stepped on the official's foot, it didn't look that bad. To me, it looked bad. I know it was really quick and sudden, but that's all it takes, that little quick tweak. So, and again, they need him to run the offense. He's not necessarily the best three-point shooter on the planet.
But he's the best player on the team.
Without a doubt. And they need him on the team.
But like, if I told you, Nick, Giannis isn't going to play, your first thought is, well, my next two options become Middleton, Holiday.
Yeah.
If I tell you Trae Young's not going to play, who are your next two options? It could vary, you know?
It's not. I love Capella, but
it's not.
It's not a
It's John Collins, probably. And then I think that's the thing. You would have many different names being thrown, but that means they're not true superstars because it's not cut and dried. Milwaukee, it's cut and dried. Those are the two guys. Atlanta, it could be Herter. It could be Collins. It could be Lou Williams if he's starting for Trae Young and played the way he played the other night. It could be a lot of different guys, but there's not going to be a consistent two guys. That's what's going to factor in, and Milwaukee's at home. So as long as Trae Young doesn't play, I think even playing field, it should be advantage Milwaukee. Obviously, if Young plays, even if he's limited, it changes the whole mentality of the Hawks team and gives them a boost. And so I would think Atlanta has a really good chance, especially with as non-motivated as the Bucks were, to actually take control of the series when Young didn't play last game before Giannis got hurt.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. The number of injuries on stars have been absolutely crazy. We mentioned 11, I think.
11 right off the top.
Off the top of our head.
Here's the thing that it bothers me. I think that in terms of wear and tear injuries, Harden's hamstring, Kemba's knee. Jaylen Brown had a wrist injury. Those are things that maybe because of long-term playing the condensed schedule. I think that if you step on an ankle, whether it be an official's or somebody else's, if you get tangled up going up in the air like Giannis did, that's part of basketball. That I'm not going to say that they're victims of the same thing. However, it is unfortunate that the trend this year in NBA playoffs is how many superstar, all-star type players.
Yeah. There are. You make a really good point about the Giannis thing because that had nothing to do with the scheduling. He hyperextended his knee.
Right.
I mean.
But like Kyrie Irving, he went up for a rebound. He just caught someone's foot wrong and his ankle rolled over. That's part of basketball. So that's something you have to deal with totally separate. It's LeBron and everybody bitching about.
It's the hamstring. It's the non-contact injuries that you're It's the quads. It's the. I don't know, the strain meniscus. I mean, if in the event it's a situation where there wasn't any contact, and you're right, that's such a good point. I didn't even think about it because you see all these names listed because that's been the big topic of discussion, particularly for players who are no longer in the playoffs like LeBron, who have a lot of opinion on that. They're taking to Twitter about all the injuries. That's one thing that's not talked about. What injuries are not really deemed or are injuries that you can't blame on the pandemic? And I think the three or four that you just mentioned are perfect examples of that.
Basketball injuries.
It's unluck. It's just bad luck. And the thing is, with Trae Young, he said on record, every single one of his injuries have been like that. It's been stepping on somebody else's foot. This time, it was on an official's foot. Most times, every other time, it was on a player's foot. This time, it was an official's foot. So there's a lot of bad luck when it comes down to Trae Young's
injuries. It happened in traffic, in the middle of a loose ball.
Yep.
Those things are going to happen. Yep. But if you're talking about the muscle pulls, the strains.
Yeah.
Those are the things where you're like, you know what? Even Kawhi's injury, it was contact.
Yeah.
So I think there's a separation, but yet overall the theme is there's too many good players that are out for your best time of the year when everybody's watching your sport, hoping that, I mean, there's people that want to put an asterisk on this finals run as much as they wanted to do it last year for the bubble with the Lakers. There's a lot of people that want to put it on this year. Because of the fact that most of the best players didn't play or were dinged up and tried to play through pain, and the teams that everybody thought were the two best, Lakers, Nets, eliminated.
They didn't win. I think that's the big key. I think they're going to put more of an asterisk in the event that Phoenix wins, they'd put more of an asterisk on that championship than the Lakers. Because even if it was a bubble year and it was a shortened season and all that, they'll still, well, the Lakers were supposed to win. They had LeBron and they had Anthony Davis. You know what I mean?
The unfortunate thing is now going forward, there's going to be a legitimate argument in the players' minds for load management. They're going to say, this is why we say it's hyper important. This is why Kawhi, starting with the Raptors and all the way to the Clippers, this is why they said we need to rest them during the regular season because they got to. Okay. So here's the counterbalance. This is why we say with all the injuries, you need to do load management. And they're going to fight for that.
Right.
The counterpoint is, if you bring up Kawhi, who's been the king of load management, did Kawhi get hurt because of not being rested, or did Kawhi get hurt because of a basketball injury? Because if he got hurt by a basketball injury, it's the same reason why I go against Jabba Chamberlain, Steven Strasburg, and baseball players when they say, we got to watch his innings because we don't want him to have Tommy John surgery. And then they still get Tommy John surgery, even though you're coddling them. Then why'd you coddle them in the first place?
Well, I mean, their goal is to prevent that. Sometimes you fail at what you're trying to prevent. I mean, a lot of players are trying to prevent injury. If you are unsuccessful at it, it's unfortunate. You know, people. That's why a lot of these guys are going to vegan diets, and a lot of these guys really believe in eliminating meat or just going full blown vegan really helps with injury prevention, recovery,
we gotta watch that documentary.
All that other stuff. So, I mean, a lot of people feel that way.
We have to watch that documentary. And I'll get you the name of it because Lisa's adamant we watch it, but. That's interesting because a lot of people last night gave credit to Chris Paul leaving Houston and changing his diet as to why he's healthy. First of all, he's not healthy. He had the shoulder. He just said he had an MRI before the game yesterday on his fingers and his wrist. So he's not healthy. But in terms of there's a lot of people putting stock in going vegan and how it helps your body recover, I'm interested in the doc to see how true that is. I know a lot of guys are doing it, but I don't know that I say that's the reason for the resurrection of Chris Paul.
Yeah. No, I agree. Agreed. All right. I guess we'll have to wrap it up. One thing I want to bring up in the final segment, more NFL fines being brought down on more NFL teams, including the Dallas Cowboys, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the San Francisco 49ers, as reported by Adam Schefter. We'll tell you a little bit more about it on the other side if you choose to stay in for that. Also, we have one more giveaway, I think.
Okay. If that's official, we'll do that. And then the other thing that I thought was very interesting was – someone made the point on the down low how valuable a trade now, which especially with Trae Young out, was Lou Williams for Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo ends up not being a factor for the Clippers a year after winning a title and helping the Lakers big time. And Lou Williams, with Trae Young out, stepped up and was a big part of the reason why they won game four and got back in the series. And he said he was contemplating retirement when they traded him out of L.A. So that was a low-key, big-time trade. All right, we've got one segment to go, as Nick mentioned, so we'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz next, right here on ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I knew it, Nick. I knew it before you get to your big raps on the show that you mentioned. I knew Palillo the New Yorker and Howard Stern the New Yorker had a whole lot in common. Now it's really starting to take shape. Howard Stern fans are ticked off because he's taken the entire summer off after he signed a new $500 million deal with Sirius. Same thing Palillo does here. Signs the mega deal and then the Summer of Charlie tour. The Palillo World Tour. Whatever we...
You called it the summer of Palillo.
The summer of Palillo.
The world tour of Charlie. The world tour of Palillo.
Whatever the case, this is exact. He and Howard Stern doing the same thing, signing for the big dollars and then taking more vacation than they have days to work.
He owned it. He said, "I think the summer of Palillo will begin. It's that time of year."
Now, the one difference that they have is Howard Stern will cuss and say naughty words on air and not afraid to broach sexual topics. Charlie will run for the hills. So. There's that.
So did you see all the penalties brought out by the NFL on some of these teams? Quite a few coaches got some fines.
Now, I always wonder, too, who's going to pay the fine? You know, I think that in a lot of cases, and I think about it like Brent Strom getting thrown out last night, I really believe that a majority of his players that have big contracts are kicking in money into a pool and saying, "We got you." Because he did what everybody wanted to do. That's get true. Tossed because CP Buckner was garbage last night.
Buckner didn't look like he was going to... I don't know much about him as an ump. He didn't look like he was going to give a lot of leash to Stromy there.
The problem that I had... Well, first of all, he did kind of go, "Whoa, slow down." And yeah. Strom didn't slow. He kept coming.
Yeah, but...
He tossed him. But it was pretty quick.
I felt like it was. I don't know what he said. He might have said something terrible to him. I don't know enough about what Strom says.
Here's the thing I don't like. I don't like it wasn't consistent. If it's one way, then it should be. Matt Harvey was getting the low strike last night. Matt Harvey was getting the corners. And Garcia was getting completely squeezed. If you're going to do it, call the zone the same way both ways. And also, he was lazy. He was very upright last night. And at the very last minute, he'd kind of lean into the zone. And I think that if you're going to do your job correctly behind the dish, you've got to get down on the batter eye level and get down by the catcher, and you got to stay there.
Yeah.
In between pitches, you can stretch out and get back down there.
There's like a video of all the bad calls back to back to back, particularly in that first inning that I saw on Twitter that they posted, and it was just ball after ball after ball after ball, basically. And most of them were in the strike zone.
Yep.
And one of them was as bad as Angel Hernandez, because there was one where he called the ball, and it was like 4 inches out. I mean, a strike, and it was like 4 inches out. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Kudos to Blummer, too, because that's a delicate line to tiptoe.
Oh, for sure.
And he was as fair as he could be in being critical of an umpire without, because in the NBA, they'll come at you and you'll get a call. And in a lot of cases, you'll get someone from your organization, but more so the next day, you're going to hear from someone from the league office. Because, you know, I told you about the time that I said LeBron's a choker at the free throw line in clutch situations, and then he missed two free throws. And I was so happy that I was right, that, and then I didn't expect the call the next day saying, you can't say that about LeBron. I'm like, he's not our player. He's like, but it hurts the marketing of the league. I don't care. I'm not marketing the league. I'm marketing our team.
I feel like Blummer does a good job of wording it right, though. I think I have it cued right.
Ball four. Lost him, and back-to-back walks from Luis Garcia.
Conversation with CB going, you got to help my boy out, man.
There you go.
The veteran pitching coach saying, my guy is out here competing. I need you to compete, too, and figure out where that strike zone is. And
there goes Strami.
Didn't want to have it from CB Buckner.
So, I mean, he did it pretty nice. He basically said, hey, ump, I need you to compete, too. I mean, I don't know how much nicer you can put it. Shout out to Blummer for that.
Friend of the show until he was paid to go otherwise. But, you know,
you we love do. Pointing that
yes,
out.
Yes, I do, because he would come on and talk everything with us, you not just baseball.
I don't blame you, though.
He would. You know what? We had the idea first. We got him on the air, and then after it became a success story, then the flagship had to go and try and pay him under the table so that they could lure him away because they can't come up with their own creative idea.
Anyway, let's go through some of these fines by Adam Schefter.
Let's do it.
So NFL Management Council ordered 49ers to cancel the final week of their OTAs last month. Cowboys were ordered to forfeit one OTA practice during the first week of the 2022 offseason. The Jaguars were ordered to forfeit two OTA practices during the first week of the 2022 season. Here are the fines. The 49ers were fined $100,000. Kyle Shanahan, $50,000. Jaguars were fined $200,000. And Urban Meyer, $100,000. The Cowboys were fined $100,000, and your boy Mike McCarthy was fined $50,000 as per Adam Schefter's tweet.
Talk to Jerry about that. The football team's going to pick up that bill. I'm not going to be paying that bill.
You think so? Well, Dallas got it. Of those three teams, who got the most? I feel like Dallas is worth it more than even San Francisco, right?
I mean, Urban, the fact that Urban got hit with 100.
Yeah, why is he getting hit with 100? I guess because it was two?
Multiple violations. Yeah, and the thing is you know what? Big deal that you lose an OTA practice during the first week of the next offseason. Guess what? Our own David Culley blew off an entire week of OTAs
Man.
Because he felt like they earned it. They suck. They didn't earn anything. And you're new there, and you're trying to get a new terminology, a new coaching staff, and you blew it off. You think one day for a team is going to be like, oh, no. But instead, at least from the standpoint of coaches, you know, I'll tell you what, coaches' wives are going to be the ones that have a problem with it. Because you know that Shanahan and Urban Meyer and McCarthy's wives are going to be like, oh, time out. Whoa, 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 whoa. So, you're taking how much from us?
Yeah, because I can't go on the private jet. I got to go commercial for how many days? Like, what?
You're shutting down my shopping for how long?
Hell nah.
Uh-uh.
Not Ooh. Happening. All right, so what's this Lou Williams trade thing that you teased? And how about one of those players where, was it Lou Williams that was contemplating quitting?
Yeah, Lou Williams had said, and he was very adamant about it after he had the big game last game, that when he got traded, because he's always been, aside from that quick stop with the Rockets, you know, he was with the Clippers and, yeah. and the Lakers.
He said that hurt. He was on record saying it hurt
and
when he got traded.
And he contemplated retiring, and then the players and everybody got banded around him and talked him into it. And now he's been just a massive addition to the Hawks team. At the time, you looked at it going, he's not even playing the minutes or doing the things he did when he was with the Lakers or Clippers. But now when Trae Young goes down, I mean, he was fantastic in terms of making the extra pass, finding the open guy. He hit a majority of his shots. He got you, and not all the points that Trae Young would have got you, but he got you enough of them to where you're like, man, that, you know, that could have been a win-win. And at the time, I thought Rondo was the exact thing that the Clippers needed. Now, I thought that it hurt them. I would have kept Lou and tried to give up somebody else. But based on what Rondo did in the playoffs last year from making jump shots and threes that he used to not make, I thought, man, that's exactly what the Clippers need. But who'd have thought that Rondo basically was a cheerleader on the sideline for the end of that series? And here's Lou Williams playing a huge role for the Hawks.
Yeah. But you know what? Lou Williams, what it comes down to, and I'm not saying he's a backup, like, because I guess there's a negative connotation to being a backup player. Man, if you have a guy that goes down that's on your starting lineup and he's a pure scorer, Man, there's not that many players out there that I'd rather have over Lou Williams. I mean, Lou Williams is a pure scorer. Like, if you need him to score by giving him minutes, that's a perfect guy to do that. So I love his role any team that he plays.
It's one thing to say Bobby Portis is a role player. Some nights he's going to play, some nights he's not. You're talking about a Jamal Crawford, or you're talking about a Lou Williams. You're talking about a multiple-time Sixth Man of the Year award winner. He's a game changer from night to night, especially when one of your starters doesn't have it going. It's such a bonus to have a guy that when you put him in, like an Eric Gordon, he might not do it every night, and I hate giving Eric Gordon credit, but there are those nights when, remember, the superstars were out and he went for 50 or 40. Guys like that are valuable.
Aaron Gordon? You're talking about Aaron. I was like, really, Aaron?
No, not Aaron.
Eric.
Eric Gordon went to Utah and scored 50. He's gotten you a couple times big games. I'm not saying he's worth the money. I'm just saying he's been valuable at times. Is that enough?
That's fair. Okay. It's fair.
Let's just end it there then.
It's the Blitz up next.
When?
Is it?
Right now?
No.
Until when?
Until 7.
On?
ESPN 97.5.
Talk to y'all tomorrow from our bar.
Answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.